Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Somebody's got to have the video of this. Somebody's got to put up a reward for this. I don't have the deep pockets to pony up a reward. Some of you might, but maybe, I don't know, free coffee for a week. I don't know. We can figure something out. I don't know if you guys saw this on X. I think she might have called in about it one of these times. You know, the gal from Eastern Montana that calls in and she's on X taking the fight to Tester and Fussy Bussy and the rest of these radical leftists every day. The oil field spouse, you know, military veteran spouse, just a fighter. It's been so cool to see her, taking the fight to the other side on X and elsewhere. But a while back, she shared a photo from a parade. And now John Tester, he has been hiding out. He's been hiding out in his basement. He's been running a basement campaign strategy. Because a lot of people were asking, man, he didn't even show up in Butte for St. Patrick's Day back. Or was it St. Patrick's Day? Or when was that? It was St. Patrick's Day, because I remember he. Everybody was like, wow, why didn't John Tester even show up? I mean, even the Republicans showed up in Butte on St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, even though the Republicans get a lot of support in Butte on St. Patrick's Day, you get those angry corners of those angry Democrats. But the Republicans aren't afraid to go in and take their lickings and get yelled at, said some nasty things, maybe even have some things thrown at them. They aren't afraid to go all over this state and talk to people and be seen at parades and elsewhere. But John Tester, man, he didn't show up at Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. And you know why I think he didn't show up at the Miles City Bucking Horse Sale or even in Butte for that matter? Because I've heard it from guys that voted for John Tester in 2006. They maybe even voted for him in 2012. Maybe they even voted for him in 2018. I've talked with these guys. I've been doing events all across the state in front of grocery stores, restaurants, you name it. People are angry at John Tester. They are angry at what he is doing to this state. They are angry at what he's doing to this country. And John Tester knows that. That's why he's got to hide out in his basement and hide behind tens of millions of dollars of phony ads from Chuck Schumer and crew. But he was at the Crow Fair, and they loaded him onto a horse. Apparently, he couldn't get up on the horse by himself. You know, it's John. You got to put one boot. Oh, I'm sorry. You got to put one Skecher in the stirrup at a time and then lift yourself over. Apparently, it took a whole crew to load this guy onto this horse. And Troy Downing had no problem getting on his horse. And he had a really nice horse that he was riding in. And so I remember the gal from Eastern Montana, she shared a photo of John Tester on this horse, and he's wearing like Skechers. And it's like, what Montanan wears Skechers when they ride a horse? Like, John, you obviously don't do these sorts of Montana things very often, do you? No offense to people who have Skechers. I mean, they're in comfortable shoes, but it's just, you don't go ride horses wearing Skechers. But if there's a photo of it available, somebody's got to have the video of the massive crew that it took to load John Tester onto a horse because he couldn't get on the horse on his own. Anyway, if you got it, and you got to share it. We'll work out the reward details later.
Securing America.
FBI Director Christopher Wray spoke about cybersecurity Wednesday at the Aspen Cyber Summit, where he said online crime is the newest chapter in the traditional story of good versus evil, and a battle
between the rule of law and the criminals and foreign adversaries who seek to harm our people, our organizations, and our businesses.
Wray says bad actors in cyberspace purposely target infrastructure we can't live without.
Hospitals and schools, utility companies and transportation providers.
The director cited China as the biggest threat, pointing to a Chinese-backed worldwide attack named Flax Typhoon, which had to be fought off just last week by companies, media, and government agencies. Wray admits,
more and more, it can sometimes seem like the odds are stacked against us.
And that
we've got to make life harder for our adversaries.
Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Phones on.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see here. That was the one opening rant I was thinking about going with there. Well, it wasn't really a rant. It was kind of like a reward offering. So we got that one knocked out. We might have to repeat that later in the morning because I know somebody's got to have video. They've got to have video of the massive crew it took to load John Tester onto a horse. And by the way, the video would be symbolic in a number of ways. One, it would be symbolic of why is the guy wearing freaking sneakers? I usually call them tennis shoes. But in this case, let's call them sneakers. Why is he wearing sneakers when he's riding a horse? I mean, this guy... Good night. But anyway, if you got the video, hey, send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or you don't even need to message me on X. You can go to the gal who goes by the name Tester will not be reelected on X, and she's going to pump that thing out there. Anyway, here's the other interesting thing for you. You guys, so big national story here. The Teamsters Union. The Teamsters Union. Think about it. John Tester's policies are Kamala Harris's policies. John Tester is the one who recruited Kamala Harris to run for the United States Senate. John Tester is fully backing Kamala Harris. He just can't tell you that publicly, although he did let it slip when he was back at the Wilma in Missoula. Remember when he was at the Wilma in Missoula? He must not have known there was press there because he let it slip that he felt that Kamala Harris getting elected was even more important than his own election, even more important than his own race. And then, the phony flip-flopper had to backtrack within the next 24 hours because, that may be what he believes, that may be what he thinks, but he can't be honest with the people of Montana about it. But anyway, so the Teamsters Union, you guys probably already heard this, it's big national news. The Teamsters Union, big deal, they are making no endorsement in the presidential race, which is a slap in the face to Kamala Harris and the Democrats. Because the Teamsters Union, unfortunately, has consistently supported the Democrat Party, even though the Democrat Party hasn't consistently supported union workers and their jobs and their industries. But they've always endorsed Democrats. And now they made no endorsement, which is a big deal in itself. But here's the other angle of that story that you might have heard, may not have heard, depending on which news you've been listening to in the last 12 hours or so. The other interesting thing is they actually released this data publicly. One of the Teamsters did. They had a poll conducted of the Teamsters union members themselves. Who do you support, Kamala Harris or Donald J. Trump? Now, I think Gutfeld who pointed this out last night, or was it in another report? I think it was on Hannity's show. The Teamsters, when it was Biden v. Trump, when it was Let's Go Brandon versus Donald J. Trump, the Teamsters, a majority of the Teamsters actually backed Joe Biden. Not by too much, but Joe Biden had a higher percentage of support amongst the Teamsters union members nationally than Donald Trump did. So how are the numbers now? Well, now the massive support for Donald Trump over Kamala Harris with the Teamsters union members themselves, but union bosses decided not to endorse, which, again, is still a slap in the face to the Democrats, still a slap in the face to the fake news media, still a slap in the face to Kamala Harris. But again, if their members actually support, if the union members themselves support Donald J. Trump overwhelmingly, I think if I remember right, the number was like 66% or something like that, then why are union bosses not endorsing Donald J. Trump? Now, the head of the Teamsters gives his canned response, but look, once again, we see here is the union bosses oftentimes do not do what is in the best interest of the union members. They will actually go against the will of the membership. And to me, that is so symbolic. I shared this via X about 22 minutes ago. Teamsters union members overwhelmingly, I even used the crazy guy all caps on that one. Teamsters union members overwhelmingly back Trump, but union bosses simply made no endorsement. Still a big loss for Democrats. And I added this question, why do union bosses get to override their members like that? And it reminds me, I added this in the tweet as well, it reminds me of the teachers union in Billings, Montana, and the statewide union, the MFPE, which is run by crazy socialist Amanda Curtis, when they slapped their own teachers in the face. Remember when Billings School District 2, which is the largest school district in the state, with the largest teachers union in the state. Now my kids are in the Billings school, so I remember this very well. The kids were so excited. The teachers were so excited to go back to school and not be forced to wear masks. There was going to be no mask mandate. And a couple falls ago. And I know the teachers were excited because I saw their happy, smiling faces a few days earlier at the open house where, you know, the kids go in, drop off their school supplies, see their name on their desk, meet their awesome teachers. And nobody, like two people in the entire school had a mask on and nobody else did. Not even the wild-eyed liberal teachers. They didn't even have masks on. And the night before they were supposed to go back to school, they slapped these teachers and the kids in the face and put a mask mandate in. The union members themselves voted against the mask mandate, but the thug bosses slapped them in the face with it.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, each year, Angus enthusiasts from across the United States and from around the world attend the Montana Angus Tour. And despite rain and wind in central Montana, this year is no exception. With more, here's our network's Lane Nordland.
Russell, it was cold and windy. Reports of rain falling between Tuesday night all the way through Wednesday. 2 to 4 inches, and the wind blowing 30 to 40 miles an hour and not letting up either. But that didn't stop more than 400 people from traveling across central Montana to see some outstanding Angus genetics. Broken Bow, Nebraska's Kim Woodward has attended the tour several times.
The hospitality and the quality of the tour is just one of the best I've ever been on. I've been on several different breed tours and some other Angus tours, but it's just hard to beat the hospitality and the quality of the cattle, and the people are outstanding, and then, you know, the other bonuses, some of the scenery is quite a bit different than other parts of the world, and always enjoy that. I see some of the genetics that they're using here and how they're working, and well, some of it's diversity genetics and cattle that are maybe asked to perform a little bit more in their own environment with a little bit less feed. And that's kind of the way my operation runs, is I try not to feed if I don't have to. So it's good to see some genetics that can handle that and not just live behind the barn with the feed, wait for the feed truck to come by.
Again, that was Nebraska's Kim Woodward attending the 50th Montana Angus Tour. The final day of the tour will conclude this afternoon. If you would like to see more of the images and our conversations with attendees, just check out our Western Ag Network social media channels.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. And our coverage this week from the Montana Angus Tour is brought to you by Angus Link and Gene Max Advantage. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You'll get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
Hello, I'm Chance Merrill, credit officer at Montana Livestock Ag Credit. Over the years, I've had many conversations with customers in their feed truck, in their kitchen, or out in the corrals. I've found there are a few things our borrowers enjoy most about Montana Livestock. They enjoy interest rates that put savings in their pocket, quick turnaround on loans, credit officers who grew up in ag, and service at their doorstep. If your outfit needs a change, please give me a call at 1-800-332-3405 or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, a judge in Missouri has dismissed a lawsuit accusing agricultural giants like Bayer, Corteva, Syngenta, BASF, and others of price fixing. The lawsuit accused the companies of conspiring with wholesalers and retail outlets to fix prices for seeds and crop protection chemicals, forcing farmers to pay higher prices. A St. Louis-based judge, though, said that the farmers and other plaintiffs failed to present sufficient allegations and the companies had violated U.S. antitrust laws. Now, the companies all welcomed the court's ruling in separate statements, and all of the defendants denied any wrongdoing. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, that he did. That he did. I got a message from Andy in Whitefish. Actually, before the show even started, we had a right at 6:06 this morning. Andy in Whitefish messaged us on our Montana Talks app and said, "Hey, Trump kicked butt on Gutfeld last night." Yes, he did. I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I got to hear a few different sound bites from it. I watched a couple of good chunks of it. And I think my favorite part, though, of the entire interview, I heard on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, they were saying, man, this was pre-2016 Donald Trump even. I mean, not that Trump has changed. That's the thing about Donald Trump is the guy, I mean, he's the same guy now as he was back in the 1980s. He's stayed consistent with his viewpoints, with his very interesting, you know, when you hear him talk about trade and everything else. But I think my favorite part of that whole thing was the introduction alone. You know, when Gutfeld kicks off his show on Fox, which is more like a late night kind of comedy show slash political news show, he's got a whole crew there. He's got Kat Timpf there. He's got, you know, the big guy Tyrus. By the way, I heard Tyrus has a home in Montana now, too, because he did a comedy show here, I think, last spring or something. But anyway, listen to the introduction. They're going person by person by person. They did, like, the normal show introduction, but then they had a very big guest that they introduced right after Tyrus.
Peter Seltzoy can deflect an asteroid. New York Times bestselling author, comedian, and former NWA world champion Tyrus! He loves Diet Coke, but hates the woke. Choosing this insanity over Sean Hannity. Let's crank it up to 11 for President 45 and 47. The man who got at 6'2", fighting out of the red corner from Queens, New York, the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Now that's an introduction right there. That's an it. Man, we got to see if Gutfeld will join us at the Fusion Fights in Great Falls on Saturday night. Yeah, the Fusion Fight League back in Great Falls coming up this Saturday night. I should be there for that that event. But I've jumped in the octagon and I've done that red corner, blue corner, you know, survey of the folks in the arena. We just did it in Billings again this past weekend, and overwhelmingly the people boo the blue corner. And then when you mention Donald J. Trump in the red corner, it's just thunderous, roaring applause. But I got to see if we could have Gutfeld do the red fighting out of the red corner introduction there. That was incredible. So, Andy, thanks for the message there. Since we're on that topic, let me think here. Since we're on that topic, I think we have another highlight. Yeah. One of the ladies on Gutfeld's show asked Trump about the evangelical vote. He talked about that and gun owners and why gun owners need to do a better job of getting out the vote. I'll play that clip for you next. And then we're going to talk weather and all the rainfall and all. message that came in here on our Montana Talks app. We'll talk more about this this vote yesterday on a continuing resolution and on the SAVE Act. The Daily Caller, conservative publication, The Daily Caller, referring to the handful of Republicans that voted with Democrats to kill the SAVE Act and this temporary spending bill yesterday, referring to them as the Surrender Caucus, referring to the handful of Republicans who voted with Democrats yesterday. But Kendall and Laurel appreciates Congressman Matt Rosendale's vote. Kendall and Laurel says, thank you, Matt Rosendale, for your vote yesterday against Mike Johnson's CR. Zinke, you are a squish. I want to play the Speaker Johnson audio from Sean Hannity's program last night. Look, nobody wants these CRs. Yeah, everybody gets it from an ideological perspective. It'd be great to have 12 individual spending bills. The House has been doing their job, though. The Senate has not been doing their job. I think effectively all they really accomplished yesterday with these handful of Republicans that voted with the Democrats, all they really accomplished was now the Republicans won't be able to force a vote on the SAVE Act, which is to prevent illegal aliens from voting in our elections. And did they save any money, taxpayer money, in the process? Did they lower spending? Are we going to see less spending as a result of these handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats yesterday? We'll see in a few weeks, but I don't do predictions that often, but I will predict that, no, we will not see less government spending as a result of the vote yesterday. We just won't force a vote on the SAVE Act. So once again, Republican lose a hill to fight on. They lose the tactical advantage because Republicans can't stick together to take the fight to the Democrats and take the fight to the other side. There you go. But that's all the more reason why we need a larger Republican majority in the House after November, and Republicans just need to stop infighting and just stay united and push through the finish line here in November. And unfortunately, it's going to take the next Congress to finally really unite and take the fight to the other side, along with a President Trump and a Republican-controlled Senate. But yeah, okay, so we don't get the SAVE Act now. Gee, thanks. All right, here was the question from one of the gals on Gutfeld to President Trump.
So, Mr. President, my question is about voting bloc strategy. And it's that we know there are 90 million evangelicals in this country, 40 million of whom don't vote, and 15 million of whom aren't even registered to vote. So what's our plan to harness those votes for you in November?
All right. And President Trump's response, it's only about 60 seconds of audio. We'll play that right after this because, I see we're already pushing up to the next break there. And then we've also got Joe Lester with the National Weather Service office. All that rain, all that wind over the past 48 hours across most of the state. We'll have the numbers for you and more coming up right after this right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and even sometimes disagree. That's part of the fun.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Governor Greg Gianforte is asking U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to issue a USDA disaster declaration, this time for the communities that were scorched by the massive Remington fire, the largest in the state this year. He says the fire killed as many as 1,000 animals and destroyed more than 1,000 miles of fencing, along with stock tanks and other facilities needed to manage livestock through the winter. Gianforte is asking Vilsack to issue a waiver for in-person fence inspections to speed up repairs. The governor also says the disaster declaration he approved for smaller towns that experience hundreds of thousands of dollars in wind damage during severe thunderstorms will give them flexibility to make repairs. The declaration covered Hamilton, Stevensville, and Miles City. All saw significant damage in wind events, even though the amount of damage was different than the big storms that struck in Missoula and Billings.
Well, it depends on the needs, and that's why getting this executive order signed, declaring the emergency, frees up the funds for qualified expenses. I'm not the expert on all the individual pieces, but this makes resources available to help the community respond.
The declaration clears the way for the state to use general funds to help the communities. Montana's panel that approves a range of utility projects, avoiding a move that could have greatly complicated the process of approving those projects, as Jason Laird explains.
The Montana Public Service Commission is claiming a victory in court. A Missoula County judge ruled commissioners have met their obligations when considering different items and shouldn't be forced to add climate change when weighing out utility regulations. The rule comes after a lawsuit was filed against the PSC to force commissioners to think about climate change despite an active petition asking for the same item. The petition was filed in February and received hundreds of comments in support. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
You're listening to the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, give me 60 seconds, and then we're going to jump right into our conversation with our friends from the National Weather Service. We're so quickly running through the 6 o'clock hour already here. One of the guests on Gutfeld's program last night, when they had this surprise appearance from former President Donald J. Trump, she asked about the evangelical vote. How do we get out evangelical voters in support of Trump and the GOP this fall? Here's President Trump's response, and then listen to what he also says about gun owners as well.
It's such an incredible statement question, because evangelicals, they're great people. They're 95% for me, but they don't vote, meaning they don't vote proportionately. If they would vote, nobody could beat you. Mm-hmm. And I have total support from evangelical Christians and from other groups. I'll tell you another group that doesn't vote. Gun owners, they don't vote. Mm. The NRA endorsed me totally every time, but they endorsed me totally. But you look at the number of people, I don't know what it is. They're rebellious or something. I don't know what it is. But evangelicals, if they voted, there wouldn't even be an election. You could cancel it. If the gun owners voted, I mean, the gun owners are just a massive proportion. If they voted, but they vote like at 16% or something. If the people, because they want to take your guns away, she wants to confiscate your guns. She wants to take them away. And, you know, she's now trying to get out of it. So she had policies that she's now changed, 14 policies about fracking. She was totally against for 15 years fracking. Now, all of a sudden, a short while ago, she came out in favor of fracking. Same thing with guns. She said, no, I don't want to take your guns. I don't want to. For 20 years, she's wanted to take your guns. All of a sudden, a short while ago, she said, no, I don't want to.
And by the way, the NRA has unearthed even more audio showing just how radical of a gun control activist Kamala Harris is. She talked about, even if you think you legally possess a gun, doesn't mean we're not going to walk into your house. I'll play that audio for you here at some point this morning. But, man, I think in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, I played that Phil Collins song, Ooh, Yes, I Wish It Would Rain Down on Me, because, man, it was from the moment I woke up and drove into the Montana Talk studios for the rest of the morning, it was just pouring down rain. And thank God for that rain. By the way, it's good to have that moisture. But Joe Lester with the National Weather Service office in Billings is with us now. Joe, first off, what stood out to you the most? Any records broken, or just how crazy was it all across the state?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Thanks for having me on. And, you know, it was a pretty good system. and we had a lot of wind and a lot of rain. There weren't actually a lot of records set. But the thing that really stood out to me, and when I say not record set, that I'm talking about South Central Southeast Montana, but just to our north, Lewistown picked up an amazing number daily precipitation yesterday of 4.35 inches, which, believe it or not, is not their daily record. It's number two. The record at Lewistown was actually 4.5 inches back in 1900, so a very old record. And you get on the north side of the Snowies and the Belts, that area just, you know, north of Judith Gap, that area just picked up several inches of rain, and I know that's some lowland flooding and, you know, some issues with the water in low-lying areas and streams and things like that. Down here, we did, Livingston did tie a daily precipitation record on Tuesday with, I think it was 0.89. Billings, our overall rainfall here in Billings was about 1.3 inches at the airport and also at our office.
Yeah, very interesting. And then we heard in our Montana State News Network news reports from Dennis Bragg out of Missoula about the winds as well. I think it was I think it was NWS Great Falls on their X account. They shared this cool video graphic showing that dynamic weather system that you talked about, which brought the heavy rain and winds to the region on the 17th and the 18th. And so that was fascinating to watch that thing basically circling around two-thirds of the state, frankly.
Yeah, and I think I saw what you were talking about there. It was a satellite loop, a very deep low that we call those, you know, the low became stacked, which just means the surface low and the upper level low are in the same position. And when that happens, it's a very strong system, and it's also moving very slowly. And so that satellite image did show that very well. A lot of moisture wrapped up from the plains, wrapped around this low. And it was very slow moving, like I said, and so it was a long period of rain and wind. So it was, you know, good, much needed moisture for a lot of the area. I wish the far southeast part of Montana would have picked up a little more, but certainly central Montana got plenty.
Well, and how cool was it to see the snowfall in Cook City? There was some you know, camera footage out of Cook City, and you know, it had snowfall there, but apparently a lot of snow fell. What, at least over a foot of snow at elevations above 10,000 feet, so particularly in the upper elevations of the Beartooth Mountains in particular. Yeah, what was your read on that?
You know, Aaron, I wish we had more observations taken at those high elevations. There is a network of snow, they're called SnowTels, snow telemetry stations, and the highest elevation that we have of those is 9,100 feet, just north of Cook City. And they did measure a depth of 8 inches there, but we're pretty certain that once you get above 10,000 feet, I think a foot or maybe even 2 feet at those highest elevations. And so I'm pretty eager to see the clouds clear out and see how white the tops are.
Yeah, it's probably a dumb question on my part, but why don't we have some of those collections at the higher elevations? Because I know when there was that massive flooding that hit Red Lodge and you know, south of Livingston in particular, you know, that whole area, it was not having that type of information at those higher elevations that I think was one of the key challenges, right?
That's absolutely correct, Aaron. And, you know, that makes it really difficult to know. And that's something we deal with every spring, is how much water is in the snowpack up there. And, you know, there are several snow tells up there, but there's not enough. And, you know, the issues with that are, you know, to be able to access these areas to maintain them is, you know, that can be difficult for one. And then, you know, they are costly. And I know that's part of the reason. And I think they're still looking at, you know, ways to maybe expand that network. It sure would be nice to have that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I don't know if we can hike some of that equipment up there. I'd love to take part in a hike like that, you know.
Yeah, I would join you. Let's take one on top of Granite Peak or somewhere up there, or somewhere up by the pass.
Yeah,
there is
there
a new weather station, just to point this out. There's a new weather station. It's a Roz station, which is a fire weather station, really, that's up on Beartooth Pass. It's above Vista Point at about 9,700 feet. So we're pretty curious to see how that station behaves this winter, especially with regard to the wind It won't tell us snowfall, but it'll give us wind speeds.
I know our farmer rancher friend Paul Mushaven down the hall was he said thank God for the rain, thank God for the moisture. I'm assuming other farmer rancher friends felt the same way across the state. As long as it doesn't give you too much and cause flooding, etc.
Exactly, we're pretty grateful. And now that we're past that system's out of the way, we've got some quiet weather. Generally quiet for the next week or so. Little chance of showers coming Friday night and then maybe Monday, but pretty quiet overall. Now, we don't see anything quite like we just experienced here coming up.
I'm still hoping to sneak my pontoon boat out for at least one more little half day here. It looks like maybe next week it might be, you know, kind of one more nice day, you know, in my neck of the woods. But what's the kind of the, I don't know if you'd call it the long-term forecast, what's the next couple of weeks as we get through September and then head into rifle season in October looking like?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this time of year when the patterns can change so quickly, it's kind of tough to say. But it does generally look warm for the next, I would say, to finish the month off across the area, across Montana, northern high plains. I think getting into October, it's a little tougher to say just because we're in that transition season. But I can tell you with some confidence the next week or two does generally look on the warm side.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, let's see. What else stood out to you here? I know you actually shared this via X as well from the National Weather Service office in Billings. You put together a full report, overview, meteorology, and much more about, you know, the rain and wind event over the past couple of days. But what else stood out to you that we haven't shared with folks across the state yet? We got about 30 seconds to go, and then we're out of time.
All right, and you're talking to the person that wrote that just a couple hours ago.
Hey, look at that.
I did mention the wind speeds. We did yesterday, some pretty widespread gusts in the 50s. Near Busby, we had a peak of 63 miles per hour. You may have read that. And so not just down in southeast Montana, but all across the, you know, the east slopes of the mountains. That's, you know, those are windy places we're talking about, and this was definitely a windy system. So,
well, thanks for that full write-up report, and better, and even more so, thanks for talking it through us with us here, because I could read it for our listeners, but much better hear it from the man himself who wrote the report, Joe Lester with the National Weather Service office. Thanks for your time, as always.
Yep, you bet, Aaron. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Quick break. We got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Why did the House of Representatives not get the SAVE Act attached to a spending bill? Hannity and Speaker of the House Mike Johnson discussed that. I'll play that clip for you and more.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The underpinning of her campaign, and she repeats it, is Trump will be a dictator on day one. That comment he made to me in an interview when I said, well, they say you're going to be a dictator on day one. Because, yeah, you're going to be a dictator. He goes, well, only for one day. And then he goes, just to get the border secure and to get us back to energy independence. And they, just like the Charlottesville hoax that they lie about, just like Project 2025 that they lie about, just like abortion that they lie about, just like Trump is going to tax Social Security and Medicare that they lie about. I mean, this is a nonstop lying campaign. And of course, Harris is not held accountable for her statements and her own words ever by anybody. It would destroy America's economy.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, remember the old way of shopping for custom window treatments, waiting around all day just to get an overpriced quote from a commission-pushy salesperson? Well, those days are over because Blinds.com invented the better way to shop for custom window treatments. Now, with completely virtual consultations, you're never going to have to deal with a salesperson in your home ever again. And whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or you prefer to use professional installation services, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver top-quality window treatments. And that means premium woven wood to motorized shades. They're my favorite and much more. You get unlimited custom window treatments installed all for one low cost. And at Blinds.com, there are never any hidden fees, no showroom markups. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And with Blinds.com, they have the 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy with the style, the color, the fit, they're going to work it out for you. Shop at Blinds.com right now. Get up to 40% off. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There you go. There you go. Conservatives, where are you at? Look, aside from the U.S. Senate race, the Supreme Court races here in Montana are the most important races, or you might even say in addition to or alongside the U.S. Senate race of equal importance. And look, many of you know you got to vote for the Sons of Montana. That's what our listeners are saying, Corey Swanson and Dan Wilson. But yet I just heard a radio commercial from one of the far left Supreme Court candidates. So, again, conservatives, where are you at? All right, let me play a quick soundbite here, and then I want to get to Tom in Billings. This is Sean Hannity talking about the fact that, 14 Republicans voted with the Democrats to kill a temporary spending bill that had the SAVE Act attached to it.
Mr. Speaker, why would anybody be against proof of citizenship, voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody controls for mail-in ballots, updated voter rolls? Why would they be against partisan observers in every precinct in the country watching the vote all day, the voting all day, and the vote counting all night and into the next day if needed? Why are they against those integrity measures?
These are great questions, Sean, and they need to be asked. The play that we ran tonight was the right play. It was the right fight for the American people. It's the one they demand and deserve. I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, Congress has two important responsibilities, obviously, upon us right now. Fund the government and ensure the security of our elections. I've been traveling the country nonstop, done campaign events in 206 cities across 39 states so far, without exception, Sean, in every venue, everywhere. When we go to audience questions, the first or second question is about election security. So the bill tonight would have accomplished both those objectives. We would have funded the government and secured the election. And I'm very disappointed it didn't pass. We ran the right play. We came a little bit short of the goal line. So now we'll go back to the playbook. We'll draw it up. We're already hearing good ideas from our members. And we've got time to fix this, and we'll get it done.
All right. Yeah, that was Speaker Johnson. There's more to that conversation that we captured. But I do want to sneak in at least one caller here before we wrap up this hour of the show. Tom in Billings, what's your thoughts?
Good morning, Aaron. I need to actually put it out there to voters that are here in Montana, especially, that are on the fence. 158 Democrats voted down a bill to not allow, I guess I would say, I'm trying to pick my words here, immigrants that have been convicted of crimes against women and children that have been convicted against women and children. So the Democrats, they're going to say anything they can to get elected. You know, Bussey's going to say it. So yeah. Basically what it comes down to is we need the Sons in our Supreme Court. We need Gianforte back in the governor's office. We don't need Bussey. We don't need Tester. These Democrats are going to say anything they want to say.
Yeah,
get the vote.
So on the SAVE Act in particular, what's your thoughts on the vote yesterday? Basically, they just handed a gift to Chuck Schumer by voting this down because Chuck Schumer did not want John Tester voting again to be forced to vote on the SAVE Act because John Tester would have voted against the SAVE Act.
Well, here it is. Here, I voted. In the last election.
We're just about out of time. We got about 15 seconds. What's your thoughts? Sorry, because we're almost out of time.
My thoughts are, you know, what's the problem with an ID? You got to have an ID.
Yeah. What's the problem with having an ID? What's the problem with ensuring that they're actual U.S. citizens before allowing them to vote? I think you and I know what the problem is. John Tester is the problem also.